Welcome to another episode of El Corey.
Episode number 7 now, because episode 6 disappeared. Yeah, we had some really bad audio on the last episode that we tried to record, and so it was just, there was no way that we could save it, so we just decided to follow the trend that a lot of hacker radio shows tend to have, and have a lost episode, so that we can get countless emails from people asking about it.
And so we do feel popular.
And yes. Wanted. And again, it's just a big plot by us to get emails, because we really like email. And we like reading email on the show. So write us emails.
Lots of emails. Lots. Fill our boxes up with emails and flaming and loving and yeah. Yeah.
But that's not to say that you should sign us up for spam email listing.
So. Yeah, because then that will just make me pissed off and make Ponyboy pissed off, and then we'll hate you forever. So
yes, and you won't like us when we're angry.
Exactly. So don't piss us off, and you'll be good. All right.
A little bit more housekeeping stuff before we get into the good stuff of the show. A very great website that surprisingly not a lot of people in the world knew about, which I don't understand why, because it was a great site, pdafreak.biz, a site basically devoted to doing fun things with Palm Pilots and PDAs and so on and so forth. Webmaster of the site was a friend of mine, and he recently decided that he didn't have that, you know, real life stuff was getting in the way, and he really didn't have time for, you know, maintaining a site every day. And so he zipped up the whole site and sent it to me, and so I'm going to be putting up a mirror of PDA Freak once I get around to uploading it onto my web hosting. on my one of my websites, storage.org, that's with a zero instead of an O. But
just go to it and check it out when it's up.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's a great site, and hopefully I'll be able to find some interesting things to maybe update it every once in a while, kind of not take it over. I don't want to say take over the project or anything, because I really can't compare to the way that he had it going, because it's not my site. But yeah, I mean, if I find something cool around the internet that I think would belong nicely on the site, I'll put it up there. And I mean, I talked to him and he's cool with it, so if any of his friends are thinking I'm trying to like steal his site or whatever, just he's completely supportive of me keeping the information out there instead of, because the site's gone now, so. And it was a lot of good information. So if you guys want to check it out, hopefully by the time this comes out, I will have the mirror uploaded, and I'll put a link up on the main site for storage, and you guys can check it out. And now I'm done rambling about that.
Yes, thank God. I'm just kidding. All right. Well, how companies like to buy out other companies and so on and so forth. Well, something happened about a week or so ago. It's not like extremely new news, but still interesting. eBay buys Skype. Why? Could it be dominant? Global dominance? We don't know. But, eBay decides to buy Skype for $2.6 billion. For what reasons? I have no idea, because I don't see why eBay would need Skype. And don't exactly see how they would make a lot of money. But, whatever floats their boat, I say. If they want it, then buy it. It's not like it's going to be any big deal, because, eBay's probably making, like, $10 billion a day, so,
Yeah, I think that it's probably not so much of the fact that they're going to buy Skype and keep Skype as it is. They're probably going to, when they buy it, I think that it's, for the most part, them trying to get in on the, the voiceover IP market, and that's basically what's going on, is they want to try and kind of get, not corner the market. Because if you're going to corner the market, you don't just buy Skype. You have to, put a little bit more effort into it. But I think they see that that's going to be where some money is. A lot of people are switching over and using voiceover IP products. And I think they just want to kind of have a foot in the door in case, it really does take off like everybody's thinking it will,
Yeah.
And who knows, they'll probably jack up the price for each Skype call, so they can make a little extra money.
Most likely. And I know this is, it makes you think the Google logo and the eBay logo are similar. Coincidence? Maybe. Who knows? That's for you to decide. Alright, yeah. Moving on to other news. China...
Even more Skype news, in fact.
Yes, and more Skype news, as a matter of fact. China decides to block Skype calls. Well, why? Because of greedy communists, that's why. Yeah, that's... I'm sorry, Chinese people in China. I really love you with all my heart. But...
Well, You have to remember that it's not, it's not China that's doing it. Chinese people, sitting at a coffee shop one day didn't decide, I think let's block Skype. It was China Telecom. Because China Telecom, they're fucknuts. And, I'm not sure what it is. I guess they were losing a lot of money, because I guess Skype calls were you know, people were making a lot of Skype calls to China, and they were losing money on it, so they... They're trying to
make it so they'll
take over.
Take over and the fact that they, like, hey, you know, we're losing money, so let's block Skype,
yeah.
So we'll be dominant.
Yeah, and they're trying to basically crush a market that potentially, if they took some time and tried to invest and try and kind of get into this market that they're so quick to just shut down as fast as they can, they might make a good deal of money on that. Because in about 10 years, when voice over IP and similar, you know, Skype and other similar companies are really making the big bucks, and all these other countries have kind of switched over and are really supporting the use of VoIP, China's going to feel like a big douchebag. Simply because they were too quick to realize, hey, we're losing money, so what we need to do is just crush anything that gets in our way. Because money is what is important. And it's not what the customer wants that's important, it's what we want that's important.
Yeah, I mean, you really can't blame them, because that's basically how it is with all companies. So, you know, it's like, hey, we care about the money, screw the customer. We'll make them think we actually care, but we really hate them and just want their money. Screw
yeah.
what they want.
And that, in China, that's why you win the Asshole of the Month award for Belcore Radio. China Telecom, fuck you.
Exactly. Fuck you, China, and China Telecom, and whatnot. All right, moving on to even more Skype news. Making VoIP calls with a cell phone. You know, they have this new cell phone where you connect this little dongle to your computer, you know, laptop, PC, whatever, and it lets you use a Bluetooth-enabled cell phone to make, you know, VoIP calls. You know, not all phones are compatible and everything, but it is good for the, like, a business person. And a really, really cool thing about this is that it actually comes up your normal cell phone number, not like Skype number or whatever. It'll actually come up your actual cell phone number, no matter if you're calling from here to somewhere in Europe or England or Australia or wherever. It'll come up your cell phone number, and it's not like $5 a minute. You know, it's like a normal VoIP call, like 2 cents a minute, 3 cents a minute, you know, whatever, which is really, 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 really awesome, I think. I mean, I personally don't see me needing this because I don't usually call out of the country, you know. But I can see how this comes in handy for, like, a business guy that's traveling all the time, you know. So.
And you'd also, it would also come in, like, yes, you're right, for people who are traveling, but also for people who are, let's say, and these phone freaks, they like to do this thing called scanning, and they dial a lot of numbers in places. And with this, you know, you could just sit, let's say you are at, I don't know, like a Starbucks, and you're sitting at Starbucks, and you're on their wireless network there, which, you know, is dumb because you'd have to pay for it, and you decide you want to do some scanning. And so, you know, you just pull out your cell phone and, you know, connect to straight through your computer, and you can basically, I mean, you know, it'd be just as easy to make the call directly from your computer using Skype, but at the same time, it would look kind of weird to people, and people would probably interrupt you. So I think that would be kind of a cool use that people will find for this if you want to, say, like, scan an exchange in, like, Japan or something. I think that it would be a really cool, something that would help people out a lot if they were into that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I see where you're coming from. That would come in handy, you know. I mean, seriously, you could get, like, scan up it virtually anywhere in the world for like 2 cents a minute, which is really, really, really awesome. Because and within a minute, you could have scanned already like 10, 15 numbers in like just a minute. So
yeah.
That's pretty cool. To other news, MIT Map Cities by cell phone usage. God, I can't even talk right. MIT is full of smart people. Smart people, I tell you. Using, you know, they use anonymous cell phone data provided by leading cell phone companies in like Austria and stuff like that. And they created electronic maps of cell phone use in like metropolitan areas of some cities like Graz, Austria, Graz, Austria. And it just is really, really neat map, and it just maps out in different colors around the city where people use cell phones the most. And it's really cool to see because some places like aren't even like used really at all and everything. And anything super spectacular, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I think that this little invention that they've come up with is really going to help people out a lot because, sorry, I just had to run upstairs there, so I'm a little out of breath. But I think that it's going to be a lot easier for, like, let's say your cell phone service provider to find out, you know, if there's a place that they need to put, like, if, let's say, there's a lot of service, like, there's a lot of cell phone usage in a certain part of town, but the fact of that there being so much, it's kind of cutting down on the service. And so they would know that that is a place where they would need to look into putting more towers so as to handle the bigger load on their network, you know?
Yeah, that's actually a really good idea. I didn't think about that, but yeah, because I know around here, a lot of places I go, like, reception totally, completely sucks. But yeah, I didn't think of that, but that's a good idea, Pony Boy.
Yeah.
Excellent. Kudos on that.
Thank you very much. Actually, that just came to me as I was running up the stairs.
Well, there you go. Multitasking. You're running up the stairs, not tripping and falling and thinking of things at the same time.
Yeah, stumbling through the dark to find a cell phone charger.
And then you fall down the stairs and there you go. All right. Moving on to more phone-related news. Hey, you know, you people out there, we're talking about phones. Yeah, we promise you, and it's happening. You know, just so you people know. Don't think we're liars, is the point I'm trying to make. Canada's quote-unquote do not call list, okay? It's not even an actually do not call list anymore. It was basically based after, you know, the U.S.'s call list, except after a little while, they put a lot of exceptions on it. Like with businesses that previously had business contacts with you before, they're allowed to call you, which can, I mean, basically make the whole thing completely useless.
Exactly.
I mean, what the hell? Because that means anybody could go and claim, yeah, I had business contacts with this such and such before, so it's okay, I can call. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah. You have to also consider what clearly defines having previous business or previous contact with this person, you know? I mean, telemarketers call me all the time at my house. And does the fact that they call me and offer business to me, does that mean that they've had previous business with me and that they can call me anytime they want? I mean, it seems that without a clear definition of it, you know?
It just seems that's like a pointless list. If they're going to say, hey, you can call people if you have previously had business contacts with this person, then, I mean, that makes the whole list useless. because, like you said, people would go, yeah, I offered this guy services before, so that means I have previously business contacts with this guy or girl or whatever it may be. So you're right. It's ridiculous.
Yes, and then, of course, they don't stop at just people who have business with you or who have had previous business with you as far as the exceptions go. They've also got exceptions for, like, campaigns, like presidential campaigns and whatnot, or whatever the head of the government in Canada is called. I don't know. And I believe non-profit organizations are on there. And, they basically make an exception for any telemarketing. Like, any telemarketer, there's pretty much an exception on the rule for them to be able to call you.
Whatever. I don't live in Canada. I just think it sucks for people that do live in Canada.
Yeah, I mean, so. Like, I've got a lot of friends in Canada, and I was born in Canada. And so, I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't live there, so it doesn't affect me. But, you know, people in Canada need to say something about that, you know? I mean, I'm sure that it probably won't happen, because you know how Canada is. But, it seems silly to me that would just be able to go and nobody would notice it or nobody would say anything about it, you know? And it just seems, I don't know, it doesn't make any sense to me, so. But I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah, you know, whatever. Can't help it. I mean, we don't live in Canada, so I guess there's not really much we can do about it.
Yeah, we have to move to Canada.
I guess we will, or you can, and I'll just stay here, you know. Whatever. No, I'm just kidding. If you moved to Canada, I'd move to Canada with you. That's the guy I am. So.
But yeah, that is our news for freaks section for the show tonight. So we've.
Actually.
Well,
we have more.
I was ending that because the next one's not really even about telephones at all, but more Canada news actually.
Okay, yeah, more Canada news. It has to do with a telephone company anyway. Rogers Communications and Bell Canada are joining up to make a wireless high-speed internet service for all Canada. That's awesome. It's supposed to be, like, reach two-thirds of Canadians in, like, less than 3 years, which, like, I mean, that's pretty good, considering Canada's, like, really, really sparked out where people live, so that's going to be a pretty big task.
It's kind of, I'm not too sure about how well it will work, because, you know, I mean, they're setting it up, and I think it's going to be a Wi-Fi network, if I'm not mistaken. And it just seems, because I've seen how much it has drained cities to have a free hotspot in a downtown area. And I've seen, it makes me wonder how long that this Wi-Fi network is actually going to be able to hold out, you know?
Yeah. Well,
don't get me wrong, it's a great idea. I'm really, like, I'm excited to see where this goes, because as far as I know, this will be probably one of the first large-scale, successful Wi-Fi networking things.
Thanks. Well, I mean, sorry, that was funny. You can't really call it successful because we don't know. So it could be a big, huge flop, and it fucking could totally suck balls for all we know. But hopefully, for the sake of Canadians everywhere, it'll work out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like I said, I really hope it does, because I think that if this works out, it'll be kind of that first step. Well, I don't even want to say that first step, because there's been a lot of first steps that have kind of not really worked. But I'm really hoping that this does, because I think that it will inspire other people and other, like, hopefully America, because I think that'd be really cool to kind of take that initiative and, you know, try and set up a large-scale network like they're doing.
Yeah,
it's kind of inspiring in a way, but I don't want to sound too fizzy there, so.
I understand. It's fine. It's okay. Let your emotions go. All right. That's basically it for the news for free and slightly news for freaks. Why not?
Yeah. We're going to try and keep it like that. Sorry to cut you off there, but yeah, we're going to try and keep it a little more organized into sections for you guys to make it kind of easier to follow the different topics of discussion, because, you know, lately we've just kind of jumped around to all sorts of things. And we're going to try and kind of keep the phone stuff towards the beginning, because that's what everybody's listening for, I know, because they write all the emails complaining when we don't have it. And then we're going to get into the other stuff that is also very cool, but, you know, people with a name like Belcore Radio, people generally are tending to listen for phone-related discussion. So we're going to keep that at the front, so if you want to just listen to that and then leave, that's okay with us. But don't do it.
Because we love you all. You're like our children.
And you'll miss the surprise ending.
Exactly, the surprise ending. What is it? Who knows? It's a surprise.
Exactly.
So,
I've been reading about a couple different groups of people that, for lack of better terms, these people kick some major ass in one way or another. And I thought it would be really cool to kind of give them props, or whatever the hell you want to call it. I couldn't think of a better word. But, you know, to acknowledge what these people are doing, because it's really fucking cool. So, first off, the Lego Company, which, you know, everyone loves Legos. They apparently had, I'm not sure exactly what kind of software it was. Do you know what kind of software it was?
I know it was 3D modeling software that they use for like the really, really big Lego enthusiast guys.
Yeah.
They could go and download the software from, you know, the Lego site and make these, if you have like skills in designing 3D things and stuff like that, you could design your own 3D Lego Statue of Liberty or hats or whatever, and submit it to the Lego people, and they would make all the parts, all the Lego pieces, like specially made for that particular design that you need, and they ship it for however much it, you know, the price is or whatever, and they and the whole thing was that the reason people were like, you know, decided to quote unquote hack into it was because of something. There were too many colors, and, you know, people had to count to get a whole bunch of unnecessary blocks just to build one thing, which cost it an ass load of money to do. And these guys went in and messed around, you know, got into the code of the whatever software it was, and made it so people could order, you know, certain blocks and things like that, without having to buy a whole bunch of unnecessary blocks to do it with, which cut down on the prices for, like, everybody, because they didn't have to manufacture that many blocks, and people didn't have to buy that many blocks. So that's basically what that was about.
Yeah, and it's really cool. I'm really I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. I'm really happy for Lego. I don't know. But basically, I'm just going to skip all that crap. Okay, basically, they are encouraging people to do this now. You know, at first they were like, I don't know about this because we're going to kind of lose money a little bit. But now they've kind of gotten to the point of where they're like, hey, you know what, this is actually really cool, and it lets people be a lot more creative. And so, you know, they're kind of encouraging people in order to do that instead of, you know, just kind of dealing with it and buying mass quantities of stuff they don't need.
Yeah. I think it's awesome to finally see, even if it is Lego, finally, you know, encouraging something like this. I think it's really, really awesome what they're doing. They're saying, hey, it's all right to do this, and you should do it. You know, it's okay. I think it's really awesome.
Indeed. So, mad crazy props to Legos for letting hackers do their thing.
Exactly. And another kick-ass, not just one person, but people.
Yes, and I remember. I'm really happy about these people.
It's cool, but they suck. But
yeah, not a good band, but yeah, good idea behind them.
Exactly. Good idea, but sorry for the band and the people that like the band, but Switch put, I have to get off like that. They suck. They suck balls. Awesome idea.
Yeah.
They can't play music. Yeah. Here, I said it.
But beyond the fact that we don't like their music, yes, the band Switchfoot, which is, I think they're some kind of Christian band or something. Their latest CD came out, and it had like a copyright protection on it so that people couldn't rip it. And a lot of their fans said, hey, we would like to be able to put the songs on our iPod, you know, since we paid for them and everything. And so Switchfoot went on their site, and they said, hey, here's how you rip the songs off our CD. Here's how you get past the copyright protection. And here's some open source software to do it. And so they put a link to, I think it was CDX or CDEX, however you pronounced it. And it kind of blew my mind when I read about it, you know? Because it went so against what I'm used to hearing people, you know, from the record industry, or not, I don't want to say that Switchfoot is the record industry, because they're not, but, you know, musicians don't generally tend to say, hey, here's how you could potentially steal our music, or potentially take our music and distribute it out for free to anybody you wanted to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's really... Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to, like, agree with you. Yeah, I mean, I think it's really, really awesome, even though the band sucks, yet again.
Yeah.
I think it's still really, really awesome that they're just saying, hey, this is how you do it. So go ahead, you know, just don't steal our music, but here's how you do it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure they realize that they're, you know, people are probably going to, you know, like, put some of their music out on the internet because of this. But at the same time, I think that it's going to show other people, like, Switchfoot did this, right? And so other people are going to say, hey, Switchfoot did this, and people are really liking it, so I think maybe, you know, if it comes to it, we should do this too. And I think that somewhere down the line, I'm not going to say that it's going to be, you know, somewhere soon directly related to this happening, but I think this is kind of a step in the right direction of if an artist wants people to be able to do it, then their recording company won't put the copyright protection on it. And I think I think that it's just slowly leading the way to people not caring about people ripping the CDs, you know? It just seems generally like a really good idea and a really good step in the right direction.
It does. It does. Maybe more people or more artists will be, you know, see as an example and follow in their footsteps, perhaps. Next on news, we have powering electronics by walking.
Oh, yes. I really like it.
That was long dead silence, probably. Boy.
Yeah, sorry. My internet connection is not being very very good, and I need to warn people about this before it's too late. If you guys remember, which I'm sure you probably don't, a couple episodes back, I went on a nice rant about how much Comcast's internet service sucked ass. And eventually, you know, it started to get better for about maybe a month or so. And, you know, a month or so, I had a great connection. And now my router has decided it wants to stop working properly. So I want to warn everybody, because this isn't the first time this has happened with my router, D-Link products aren't good. You shouldn't use them. I take that back. D-Link made one good product that I know of so far, and that is the DWL650 wireless card, because I really like those. But as far as routers go, D-Link, they are probably the shittiest router that I've ever had the displeasure of using.
I've been to two D-Link routers, so I know how you feel.
I mean, it's horrid, you know? I don't know. I don't want to get into a long rant about this just because that's not what I was intending to do for the show tonight. But yeah, just be careful when you're out purchasing routers and wireless equipment. And if you can find something that's not D-Link, I recommend that you go for it. And that's all I'm going to say about that. So let's go ahead and get on with the show.
All right, walking.
Yes.
Most people I know, if I could go without walking, I probably would, you know. But walking finally has some use, right? You can actually power stuff while you're walking. This laboratory has come out with this backpack. It's about 84 pounds, something like that. But it's like one of those backpacks that you carry when you're hiking or whatever, you know. And as you walk, it has these little, I don't know, these little cylinder things that move up and down and create electricity as you walk by the movement of the backpack. That's awesome. So you could be out in the woods and you know, go for a hike and come back later because it can store the energy in the in a battery after, you know, you charge a certain amount, it'll put it in the battery. So you could have basically a laptop out in the middle of nowhere without any electricity or anything and still have your laptop, PDA, MP3 player, a whole bunch of other shit, and still be able to use them out in the middle of the woods.
I think that this is a really, really, really cool invention, simply because, you know, I think if you've ever been camping, it's kind of a rule that if you go camping and you bring electronics with you, you're going to have at least one thing that when you get there you realize it doesn't work because the batteries are dead or somewhere else, something similar, or the batteries will die within 5 minutes of using it. And I think that this is like the solution to that problem, you know?
Yeah. Because I know if I was out in the woods and I didn't have my laptop or cell phone or PDA or MP3 player or whatever, I know I'd be devastated, honey boy.
Yeah, I mean,
utterly devastated.
It's impossible to get away from the hustle and bustle of the big city without my PDA. I can't do it, you know?
Yeah, man, I know how you feel. I know how you feel. We're in the same boat. No. Couldn't go without my laptop, PDA, MP3 player, and cell phone with me. Always have to have them on me all the time. A day, if I never did. But, I just think that's really, really, really awesome that finally walking has a purpose besides just going from one place to another. Walk for electricity, people. Walk for electricity. Which, going back to, I think we did a while back about the, portable access point, you remember?
Yeah, the solar powered. Which?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you take that idea, instead of using solar power, use the backpack instead, the walking backpack, and dude, you got yourself an awesome setup right there.
Yeah, and I mean, it would work more so like, you know, because you're not always going to be in a place where you have a lot of sunlight all the time that's, you know, directly hitting your backpack. And I think, you know, I think using this backpack as opposed to the solar-powered one makes a lot more sense, you know? Simply because, like I said, you know, you could be, like, let's say you're, you know, hiking in Alaska or somewhere, because I believe in Alaska they have those times where it's like 6 months of darkness and 6 months of light. So, you know, you're not always going to have the sun for 6 months. So I think that, you know, this would make a lot more sense because, you know, even if there is no sun, you can still walk somewhere, you know? You don't have to just sit there in the dark or check my cell phone battery.
Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's more practical than the solar power thing. The solar power was a good idea, but this is hell of a lot more practical than having to use, you know, solar power when you may not even have, you know, any sunlight or anything anywhere.
But then again, you could also kind of double the ideas up, and you could have, you know, put some solar panels into the backpack so that if you know, let's say you're on a camping trip and you wake up in the morning and you're like, you know what, I need to charge this battery up, but I really don't feel like going for a hike today. I went for a hike yesterday, so I don't feel like going today. And then, you know, you could still, you know, set it out in the sun somewhere if, you know, the sun is available at the time.
Yeah. Good thing is, Tony, you're on a roll tonight. You're on a roll tonight.
Yeah, I am. I think that I must have taken my Adderall this morning.
You can focus. Oh, it's amazing. Oh, jeez. Yeah. Awesome idea. Kudos to the scientists who made this backpack. Awesome idea, guys. Moving on.
Another cool way of powering things, which you don't really, you know, it seems kind of weird, but it's an MP3 player that is powered with a fuel cell instead of sticking in, you know, a couple AA batteries or whatever into it. You actually have liquid fuel. And I don't know what the point of that would be, but personally, I don't see a practical use for it. I think it's cool, but
Yeah, I mean, isn't that just a little bit dangerous having a spell-equipped LP3 player? I mean, didn't that just kind of like, hey, if it gets too hot, won't it like explode? Maybe? I mean, I'm not like any scientist that I'm not like claiming to be some fuel cell expert, but you know, I'm just thinking, what if you accidentally leave out in your car? I mean, it just seems to me that the thing might like explode or something. But then again, I could be wrong. But they're actually supposed to be selling the things. They're supposed to be out like around 2007. You know, in a couple, that's like, what, 2 years? So, but I mean, I don't know. I don't think I would personally buy one. I don't want it one day. So.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think that it's definitely an interesting concept. But still, I see no why, you know? Why use a fuel cell when you could just as easily use a battery? It makes sense.
It doesn't make any sense, because it said it could power, like, the hard drive version of it, of the fuel cell MP3 player for about 3 hours. But, I mean, yeah, that's good and all, I suppose, but, you know, whatever. I'd just rather use a battery, not having to worry about fueling my MP3 player.
Yeah.
My MP3 player ran out of gas.
Yeah. I gotta stop my BP real quick and fill it up. I don't know.
I gotta stop by the gas station and fill up my MP3 player before I leave.
I guess I can understand, you know, since, like you said, it does run for like 60 hours on this fuel cell battery thing. But, yeah, I mean, still, it seems like it's just kind of a bother, you know. It seems like it would be more effort than it was worth, because you'd have to, you know, you'd have to refill your fuel cell, and Lord knows how much that special fuel that they're selling is going to cost.
Yeah, I mean, that stuff seems like it'd be really, because if it's anything like the kind, do you ever mess with one of those gas-powered RC cars?
Yeah.
Yeah, the gas for the gas for those things is expensive. So if it's anything like that, dude, then it's not, like, worth it. Just give me a battery-powered MP3 player and I'll be happy.
Or give me an MP3 player that I can hook up to my solar-powered walking backpack thing.
Or that works just as good, you know.
Exactly. And then I've got it. What they should do is they should make a fuel-powered backpack. It's genius.
A fuel-powered backpack.
It can't fail. I mean, it's, you know, it's the most senseless thing ever. People will love it.
Yeah, people are like, hey, look, I have a dual-powered backpack, and what purpose does this serve? I don't know,
but
it's cool.
When I pull on this string, it makes a cool noise.
Exactly, like, but what does it do? Nothing. Oh, jeez, people and their weird gadgets and whatnot, I swear. Oh, man, all right. Oh, moving on to...
Yeah.
Man.
Some big news for, some big news for the Linux community.
It's been a long time coming. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Yeah, not exactly the greatest of all Linux distributions, but still a big step forward for the use of Linux, like, as a mainstream operating system.
Exactly.
Dell Computers is starting to offer Mandriva Linux with their computers, which, if you guys aren't familiar, Mandriva is what Mandrake. It was previously called Mandrake. Now, I don't know why they changed the name, but, you know, not exactly the most cutting edge and popular Linux distro amongst the Linux community, but I think that it's really cool that they're even, you know, considering using Linux in the first place. I think that it's, you know, just the first step out of many to kind of get Linux onto more desktops.
Yeah, I mean, of course, if I'm not going to put something like, say, Gentoo or Slackware or something up on there because, you know, you don't want some person opening up their computer, setting it up, and be like, how do I do with this? What the hell is this? So, Mandriv was good for, you know, for the non-computer savvy people out there. But it really is it's a huge step forward in making Linux a mainstream OS, finally, after all these years.
Well,
yeah, I think that about wraps it up.
Huh? Yeah, let's see, anything else we need to cover before this is over? I have an odd feeling that there's something I was going to say and I forgot what it was.
Sorry, me and my ranting on and on about things just made you forget.
Oh, no, that's what it was. We forgot about the surprise ending.
Oh, yeah, the surprise ending. All right.
Yeah. Surprise.
This is the ending.
The end.
All right, well, until next time, people, keep freaking hacking and learn some more stuff and write an email.
Yes, and keep having fun, guys. That's what's important.
Exactly. Fun. That who cares about anything else? Fun. That's all that matters. Yes.
So we'll see you guys in 2 weeks. End of file.